you would bow your heads with me. Father, we've come tonight and we've offered up our hearts to you. We've offered praise to you through song and through dance. And God, we ask now that you bless us through your word. We ask, oh God, that you give us a word that we can take with us, a word that we can meditate on, a word that we can live by, a word that will bless us. So we ask, oh God, that you anoint us afresh to preach your word and anoint us afresh to receive it. But I pray most of all, God, that you open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, oh God, for we want to see Jesus. Then open our hearts that we might receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all excited to be here tonight? I'm going to say that one more time. How many of y'all are excited to be here tonight? You ought to be excited to be in the house of the Lord. You ought to be excited to be in the number, as they say, one more time. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And when you find Psalm 121, say amen. Psalm 121. And it reads, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He would not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you would not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. That's enough to shout off of right there. Y'all not excited about this thing. Y'all not excited about the word of God. It's. Let me ask you this then. How many of you got some troubles in your life? How many of you know that things just don't go right all the time? Sometimes, if you're like me, there's been some times in your life when you had to say, what do I do now? Where do I go now? How do I handle this situation? How am I ever going to get over this? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about now what? That's about the simplest way I can put that. There's been some times in my life when I said, now what? Things hit the wall and I said, now what? Life has thrown me a curveball and I said, now what? Fellas, you've done had some ladies kind of walk out on you. You said, now what? Ladies, you done had some men to walk out on you. You said, now what? They was your world, your hope, your dreams. But then they left out the door and you say, now what? Well, tonight I'm here to help us to answer that question of now what? Some of us are not as mature as others, but some of us, all of us probably remember somebody saying something about when Martin Luther King got shot. The world was in a state of saying, now what? When JFK got killed, people in the world were saying, now what? When 9/11 happened, many of us were saying, now what? You wanted to know what to do next. You wanted to know, is there any hope? You wanted to know, is there a way out of this situation? And many of you today, you might be asking yourself right now, now what? What am I going to do now? Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, three things that you ought to do when you find yourself asking the question, now what? And let me say this right here. You got a lot of folk in the world that always got advice. Amen. Your boys got advice. Your girls got advice. They always know the right thing for you to do. They don't seem to follow their advice, but they trying to tell you what to do. I know everybody in here ain't Steve Harvey got his strawberry letter 23. I know y'all don't heard that. Y'all don't listen to it. Folk will write him because they're saying, now what? Can you help me? And those of you who have heard that show, you know there's some crazy folk out there that's got some issues. I mean some real issues. But what they're simply asking him is, can you help me know what to do next? I'm asking you, Mr. Harvey, now what do I do? He gives them some comical advice, but you ought not look to him. You ought not look to him. You ought to look to the one that can help you in your situation. You ought to look to the one that can answer that question of now what? And I'm here to tell you, first of all, his name is Jesus. God is the only one that can help you when you have the question of now what? Nobody else can help you. Mama's good, dad is good, your friends are good, but when you really in a tight spot and you need to know what to do next, you need to call on Jesus. I like mama. I like daddy. But there's some things they just can't do. And when I find myself in a situation like that, I need to call on somebody that can do something about anything. Y'all missed that. I need to call on somebody that can do something about anything. There's some folk in there that can help you, but there's some things that they can't do. There's some people in your life that can help you, but they got limitations. But when it comes to God, there are no limitations. When it comes to Almighty God, there's nothing that he cannot do. And I'm looking at the body of Christ, and you know, I hear a lot of folks say sometimes, well, I know what to do. If that ever happened to me, I know what I'd do. If that happened to me, I know what to do. Well, if we know what to do, why are there so many people in the body of Christ sitting on the sideline, broken and hurt? Since we know what to do, why are we still sitting on the sideline, broken up about something that happened to us last year? Why are we afraid to get in the game because of something that happened to us yesterday? We said we know what to do. We said if it ever happened to me, I know what I'm going to do. Well, it happened, and you don't know what to do. It happened, and you're still sitting there broken and hurt because you don't know what to do. Psalm 121 helps us. If you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The first thing you've got to understand, you're looking to a sovereign God who has sovereign power. That word sovereign, it basically means that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, to whoever he wants. He can do what he wants to do. And when you've got a God like that, no situation that you've got is beyond his control. No problem that you have is too big for him to handle. You've got a God that's sovereign over all things. And even as we talked about last night in men's Bible study, even Satan has to answer to God. He doesn't walk around just doing what he wants to do. He has to answer to God. He's in power and control even over the enemy forces that we run up against. If you've got trouble in your life, you need to call on a sovereign God who's got sovereign power. He can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it. And sometimes he might even use you to work it out in somebody else's life. But are you trusting him? Are you calling on that powerful name There is no other name under the heavens by which a man can be saved. Are you calling on that name when you're in trouble? When you ask that question, now what? Who you calling? Are you calling Mr. Harvey? Are you calling Mama? Are you calling Daddy? Or do you fall on your knees and say, God, I need you. God, I need your help. Now, this psalm that it's talking about here says is a psalm of ascent. From Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 are known as psalms of ascent. And it said that as they ascended up these 15 steps of the temple, that they would sing one of these psalms. But it also said as the pilgrims came on their way to Jerusalem to worship, they would sing these psalms, or this particular psalm, as a psalm of protection over them. As they came to Jerusalem to give their worship, to give their offering, to make that once a year sacrifice. They needed protection because folk laid in wait for them. Got anybody laying in wait for you? There were some enemies that were unseen, ready to pounce on them. And they didn't know where they were. So they asked God to watch over them as they came to Jerusalem to worship. And Psalm 121 was one of the psalms that they would sing on their way to worship. But when you've got a sovereign God, it says that I'll look to the hills. But he asking a question after that. I know sometimes we read that part and we say, I'll look to the hills from which cometh my help. We read it like as a statement. But really the first part is a statement. I will look to the hills. But the second part is a question. And many of your Bibles probably have a question mark. It said, from whence comes my help? In other words, they were saying, now what? Where is my help going to come from? Where will I get the help that I need? Where is that power that I need in my life? And then the psalm writer says, I know. The one who made heaven and earth. The one who made it all, he's the one that can help me. Why are we going to call on somebody else when we got a God that made this earth? A God that made heaven? If he made it, don't you think he knows how it works? If he made you, don't you think he knows how you work? If he made you, don't you think he knows every trouble that you got? The Bible said he knows every hair on your head. Even the numbers of them, he knows how many you got. If he cares that much about me, don't you think he's got enough control in the power of his hand to do something about my situation? If a God can make an earth, and make a heaven, make it revolve, make folk walk around in it, give you oxygen to breathe. You don't know where it comes from, do you? A God that can make trees produce the very thing that we need to survive, but in turn we produce the things that they need to survive. If he can do that, don't you think he can do something about your problems? Don't you think he can do something about your situation? Don't you think when you find yourself saying, now what? You ought to say, I'm looking to the hills from which comes my help. And then you get like the verse 2, it says, I know where it's coming from. It's coming from the one who created it all. The one who made the heavens, the one who made the earth. It's coming from a sovereign God who's got sovereign power. He can do anything in my life. He can save me from this wretched sin that I'm in. He can save me from the troubles that I'm in. He can deliver me from anything. Why? Because he's a powerful God and he's a sovereign God. So next time you find yourself asking a question, now what? Remember that I've got a sovereign God who's got sovereign power. He can do whatever I need him to do to get me out of my situation. Then you look at verse 3. It says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Second thing you got to understand is you've got God's sure protection. If you notice in the verse, he said, I will look to the hills. But by the time he gets to verse 3 through 6, he says, the Lord is your keeper. He's already come to the understanding with himself. I know God can keep me. I'm going to help you out now. The Lord is your keeper. the Lord can protect you. He said the sun won't strike you by day, nor the moon by night. In other words, he was saying that trouble might come to you in the daytime, but God can take care of that. Trouble might come to you in the nighttime, but God can take care of that too. And he says also, you can take comfort in knowing that he's your sure protection, because he said he neither slumbers nor sleeps. We serve a God that don't go to sleep on. DJ, I don't want to ask you, but there have been some times when you probably called on your mama, but she was asleep. Just say amen. There have been some times you done called on some other folk, but they were tired. I would come, but I'm tired right now. If you wait a little while, I might can make it. Well, you might need them right then and there. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you got a God that says, I'm right there for you. You don't have to worry about me getting tired. You don't have to worry about me falling asleep on you. When you call me, whether it's day or night, I'm there for you. When you call on the name of the Lord, it doesn't matter if you're in trouble in the daytime or if you're in trouble at night. God says, I don't sleep. I'm on the job. I'm here for you. All you got to do is call on me. All you got to do is lift up my holy name. And when you do that, I'm right there on the spot. If you look at the Bible, there's oftentimes when you hear folk calling out to God, God comes to see about them. When you see folk calling out to God, he comes to their rescue. I would dare say that many of us in this room right there, we already know that. When God has, you have called out on Almighty God, and he's come to see about you. You called on his name, and his name has power. You called on his name has strength. It does not get weak. He does not go to sleep on you. He's there for you day and night. God is your sure protection. And if you notice, he uses words like shall and will. He didn't say God might be there in the daytime. He didn't say God could be there. He said God will. He shall. He is. I take comfort in that, because it lets me know that it's a sure thing. It ain't always a sure thing when you're dealing with us. It ain't always a sure thing when you're leaning on man. But when it's God is involved, it's a sure thing. He'll never let you down. Somebody asked me one time, how do you know you can go to heaven? I said, because God never breaks a promise. I said, he told me in his word that I could have eternal life. He told me in his word that I could be where he is. And if he's told me in his word that I can have those things, they're mine. I don't have to worry about it. But a statement he made was, you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. I said, if God told me I was, I can bank on it. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you believe God keep his word? Yeah. Do you believe God lie? No. So if he tells me in his word I can have it, then that's a sure thing, ain't it? If he tells me in his word that it's mine, then I can bank on it. I don't care what you say. God said it's mine, it's mine. I don't care what you say. If God said I can have it, I can have it. I don't care what you said. If he said he's going to give it to me, then I've already got it. If he said he could save me, I'm saved. If he said he's going to keep on saving me until the day of redemption, then I'm saved. If he said he's going to keep on saving me and justifying me and glorify me until the day that I get glorified, then I don't have to worry about it, because he said it, and that's a done deal. Whatever God says, you can bank on it. His very word said, it won't come back void. Whatever I say will go out and accomplish what I've said, sent it out to do. God never fails on his word. If you want to get a word from somebody, get a word from the Lord. Don't be calling Mr. Harvey, asking him what to do next about your situation. Don't be calling your mama all the time, asking her, what do I need to do about my situation? Sometimes you need to fall on your knees and call out to the sovereign power, a sovereign God, and he'll give you that sure protection at the time that you need it. Why? Because he made the world. He made heaven and earth. And if he made it, he knows what's wrong with it if it goes broke. If he's the one that's in control of everything, I ought to look to him to do the protecting. In the daytime, I'm looking to God. At night, I'm looking to God. It means everywhere I go, everything I do, I look to God, because he's my sure protection. And you know, we live in Charlotte, and Charlotte is not beginning, it's turning into a place that's not so comfortable to live anymore sometimes. You got to watch where you go.
You got to sure enough watch who around you are most of the time, especially if you're out at night. But guess what? I go out with a sure protection, God Almighty. And let me tell you about this thing, this sure protection. A couple weeks ago, I was on vacation. I was at my mama's house, and she was cleaning out her shed. And she had already started when I got over there. I was just dropping by. I wasn't coming to do no work. I was just dropping by. But as I looked, I saw her cleaning the shed, and I was like, okay. But she came out of the shed. She said, I need you to go in there for me. And she had this look on her face. And I was like, what you need? It's two dead snakes in there. I need you to get them for me. Well, I went in there. Didn't even hesitate. Walked right up in there. You know I'm like. But when you get in there, I see that they're not snakes. They are the skins from a snake. The snake has shedded its skin. Mama, those are snake skins. And she got boxes piled all up in there. I said, it might be better, you know, you need to get some lime and some sulfur and all that stuff and put in there. But those are snake skins that have been shed by a snake. I'll come by here next week while I'm on vacation, and I'll take care of that for you. And I did. But while I was in there, you know, I would grab a box and and it hit me. Let me stop. And I said, God, I need your protection right now. I said, I'm calling on you in the name of Jesus to be my shield, my buckler. I'm calling on you in the name of Jesus to make me aware of anything that could cause me harm or danger. But I was still. A couple boxes was open. And lo and behold, I clean out one side. I clean out the other side. And on the back shelf, there was a little tin box that had some books in it, and it was open. I mean, it had no lid or nothing on it, but I grabbed that box, and I set it outside, and as I turned, it looked like it was a black belt in there. I grabbed a stick, moved the book, and as I moved the book, the black snake decided to move. Not only was he still alive, he had good length on him. But I remember I called on the name of Jesus. The sure protection. Even though there was something in there that could have caused me harm. My God. I called on the name of Jesus to have his sure protection to cover my life. And I asked him to make me aware of anything that could cause me harm or danger. And I only caught a glimpse from the corner of my eyes. I turned away. But it was enough to make me aware of what was there. And I laid hands on that snake with a stick. But you got to realize that God is your sure protection. He is the sovereign God. He has sovereign power. He can protect you. He is your sure protection. And then if you look at verses 7-8, it said, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this day forth. That sounds like a blessing to me. But guess what? It's God's supernatural blessing that you got to look for. Not only do you look for his sovereign power and his sure protection, but you got to look for his supernatural blessings. What do you mean? Some of us in here should have lost our minds by now. That's according to natural law. You done been through some situations that you shouldn't have it all together. You should be sitting in a corner somewhere drooling. But God's supernatural blessings say, I'm going to keep your mind in perfect peace. There are some of us that have gone through heartache. And natural law says, it ain't even worth living no more. You ought to just ball up in a ball somewhere and just die. But God's supernatural blessings say, I can mend a broken heart. We get caught up talking about, I don't have enough. And God's supernatural law says, you got more than enough. We walk around talking about, I'm broke and I can't buy nothing. According to natural law, you can't buy stuff. But God's supernatural law says, it's yours. There are times when you go to apply for a loan and your bank account says no. Your credit says no. But God's supernatural blessing says, yes. I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. There are times in your life when folk look at you and say, you weren't going to amount to nothing. Folk look at you and say, you ain't ever going to be nothing. But all you got to do is look at him and say, look at me now. Because God's supernatural blessing says you are more than a conqueror. I'm looking to the one that can do something about my situation. I ain't the smartest one in the box. But God's supernatural blessing says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I ain't the best looking one in the group either, but God says he can give me somebody that'll be the apple of my eye. That's Solomon. Fellas, in case you don't know, if you ain't got no game, check out Song of Solomon. Say he's the apple of your eye. And ladies, if you don't, you know your man ain't got no game, just throw some hints. Open the Bible up to Song of Solomon and leave it right there on the bed. You got to look for God to bless you. And you just wait on him. After you call on his name, supernatural power. And after you ask him for his sure protection, then what you do is you say, I'm going to sit back and wait on my God. I'm going to sit back and wait on him to show up. That same day I was in that shed, I called on his name. And all I had to do was wait on his supernatural blessing to show up and show me what was there. When I was in trouble, I called on God and I allowed him to protect me and I allowed his supernatural blessing to say, I'll bless you going in and I'll bless you coming out. Going in, coming out. When I leave the house, I'm looking for God to bless me. When I come home, I'm still looking for God to bless me. Y'all might think that's not worth it, but when you leave the house, you need the blessings of God to be on your life. And some of us, you know, when you go home, you need the blessings of God to still be on your life. Amen. So when you talk about having the blessings of God, the supernatural blessing, the world will tell you one thing. But God says, not so. The world will say it's supposed to be this way. But God says, not according to my law. The world will tell you that you shouldn't have what you got. But God says, that's my child. The world will tell you, you should have lost your mind by now. But God says, no, no, no. You're mine. And when you belong to him, that's the key. You've got to belong to him. It's like a Bluetooth. It only works with that phone if it's compatible. You got to link it up. You got to establish relationship. You can walk around with that Bluetooth in your ear all you want. If you hadn't established a relationship with that phone, you're wasting your time. Hello? 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 But once you establish a relationship between the Bluetooth and the phone, it's on. Hands free. Y'all missed that. Good God Almighty. It's hands free then. See, right now you're going through life with your hands on the steering wheel talking about now what? Now what? But once you establish a relationship with Almighty God, it's hands free. because you need to take your hands off the wheel and let him do the driving. Once you get that wheel in your hands, you talking about now what? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. But once you say, God, it's yours, come in and show me what to do. Come and handle this situation. Take your hands off the wheel. What's that song? Jesus, take the wheel. That ain't no joke. If you let Jesus take the wheel, he can give you his sovereign power. If you let him take the wheel, he can give you his sure protection. And if you let him take the wheel, you can live in his supernatural blessings. But when you find yourself saying, now what? Remember this song. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight and you just want somebody to agree with you about your situation. Maybe you're here tonight and you just want us to call on the name of God with you. There's power in numbers. The Bible said if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's up in your life. I don't know what the enemy has in store for you, but I know a God that does. I know a God that's able to handle any situation. So if you want us to agree with you in prayer tonight, I'm just going to ask you to come. You know, I've heard a story recently talking about the Titanic, and they said that it was the saved folk that were ashamed to help those that were dying. The folk that got on the boat, they were being saved. But there were a lot of folk that were still in the water. And the folk that were already in the boat refused to turn around. They were sure. They were saved. But the folk that were in the water, lost and dying, they refused to turn around and go back and get them. I'm asking you tonight, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to go and get that which is lost.
Gently rest upon my heart, like the dew. Gently rest upon my heart. Rest, Jesus. Rest, Jesus. Rest, Jesus. Rest.
Most gracious Father, precious Lord, we come tonight, O God, and we call upon your holy and righteous name.
You said in your word that you're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're from everlasting to everlasting. You are whatever we need you to be, O God. If we need you to be a healer, O God, you're a healer. If we need you to be a provider, O God, you're a provider. If we need wisdom, O God, you're an all-wise God. If we need a blessing, O God, you're in the blessing business. And God, we just come tonight, first of all, just to humble ourselves before you. Just to acknowledge that you're the biggest thing in our lives. Just to acknowledge, oh God, that you and you alone are the center of our joy, our peace. We ask, oh God, that as we look to you, that you will answer our prayers. Not because we're just wanting you to, God, but we're asking you to reach into your love and mercy. Reach into your grace. And let it abound in this place, oh God. God, we realize that we're not worthy to even receive anything from you, but you said in your word that you loved us. And you loved us so much, oh God. You gave your son, Jesus Christ. You gave us the best that you had already, God. Because you gave the best, oh God, to us. Help us, oh God, to give our best to you. But God, some of us stand in need, and we pray for those that are broken, oh God. Broken in heart. Broken in spirit, oh God. We pray for broken families, oh God. We ask that you mend them back together. God, anoint the hearts and the minds of those individuals. You know who they are. Bring healing, oh God, where healing is needed. God, allow them to stand strong on your word. And God, we pray for those who stand in need of a financial blessing. You own the cattle on a thousand hills. But God, we also know that if we just have your favor, it can be more than enough. So God, I pray for those who stand in that need a financial breakthrough, that you begin to show yourself mightily, oh God. Open up the windows of heaven, Father. Pour out a blessing into their lives. God, we just ask you to move according to your word. We ask you to move, oh God, according to your will, according to your good pleasure. You said in your word that you know the thoughts that you think towards us, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. If we would just seek you, oh God, with our whole hearts. So God, help us to seek you with our whole hearts. And as we seek you, oh God, bless us in the midst of it. God, we ask that you give favor where favor is needed. God, you know that someone needs you to show favor mightily in their, on their behalf. We ask that you do so now, God. God, that mind that may be troubled. Everything seems to have gone wrong, oh God. We trust you, Father. And as we saw tonight, God, all we have to do is look to you. Because you're a sovereign God. You're a powerful God. You have sure protection for your dear children. And God, we just are waiting on you to supernaturally show up and move on our behalf. I pray for all that are gathered here, oh God. They didn't have to come tonight. They didn't have to be here, but they've chosen to come. They've chosen to make you a priority. They've chosen to come and worship you.
they've chosen, oh God, you as the best part. There are so many things that we could have done. But I'm so glad, God, that you gave us a heart and a mind to come and worship your holy name. And I pray that all are blessed for having been here. We ask, God, that you bless all who have played the instruments. Bless all who have sung songs. Bless all who have given their bodies in dance. Bless all, oh God, who have opened up their minds and their hearts to you tonight. Bless all, oh God, through your word, with your word. And most of all, God, bless us as your children. Care for us. Watch over us. Protect us. Lead us and guide us, oh God. God, someone stands in need of wisdom tonight to know what decisions to make. But God, I'm just a firm believer that if we always ask you what we should do, where we should go, how we should do it, that you would tell us exactly what you want us to do. So I pray, God, that you give us the wisdom that surpasses all understanding. Even if it's not what we want to do, but it's what you desire us to do, God, help us to accept it. Help us to walk in. If there's anything, Father, that I have not mentioned, if there is anything, oh God, that has not been lifted up to you, you know what we stand in need of. You know all of our struggles and our trials. You know our heart's desires. We pray, oh God, that we just be in your will and that we will live according to the way that you called us to, that we will represent you here on earth as your ambassadors to your holy kingdom. Bless your dear children, oh God, as you see fit. Move, oh God. God, we ask that you move swiftly. Some situations can't wait, Father, but you know all about it. So we ask, God, that you move swiftly in your power and in your might. We ask that you have your way, God, not only today, but tomorrow and forevermore. Bless our going out and our coming in. Bless us in the city. Bless us in the fields. Bless our hearts. Bless our minds. Keep us in a place, oh God, where you are the most important thing in our lives. We thank you, God. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify you. We exalt you. In that precious, wonderful, and glorious name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.